We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You went to Sbarro's? Is there not a Hooters nearby? My God, have some self-respect.
Is there not a vending machine with cigarettes in it?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's about that time. Time to talk to Matt Verderam of FanSided. We just had Matt Connor on from Arrowhead Addict and FanSided just about an hour ago. You can see those guys cross paths like the Matt Avengers. The Matt Avengers? That's nothing.
The Mavengers.
Mavengers? That sounds like what you say whenever you tip your fedora to a bunch of superheroes. You go, Mavengers. And that sucks, so that can't be it. But you can get all of Matt Verderam's work on FanSided, the Arrowhead Addict podcast. I've done a bunch of different podcast and video streaming things. We've also mentioned Sterling Holmes. We've really run the gamut. We're running Arrowhead Addict FanSided PR today.
The League of Extraordinary Mats.
The League of Extraordinary Gentle Mats.
Ooh, we got there.
I don't know that Matt Verderam is a gentleman though. Matt, do you consent to being called a gentle Matt?
You ever call me any of that stuff again, I'm hanging up and calling the police.
All right, well, it feels like a good time to ask you the other question that I was going to ask you out of the gate here tonight, which is, are you a bidet guy?
I've never partaken. So I guess no, because it's impossible to be one unless you've been involved.
Sure.
I'm not that fancy, to be real.
So Matt Connor and I have found out we are both hugely hashtag team bidet. I know sometimes this show can get a little silly, but I want to say this with as serious an expression as possible. It is a life-changing appliance and something that we should just have in all of our homes. It's a ridiculous thing to not have. So you have my endorsement and Matt Connor's endorsement. You can get one for like $30 on Amazon. Are you open to the idea?
No, but that's good. That's good for you. You make that investment. I'll take $30 and, I don't know, go out to dinner with it or something.
No, you'll spend it on toilet paper and literally flush it down the toilet. This is a long-term investment. $30 now.
How is God saying you still on the radio? This, I mean, we're in the middle of the playoffs. I mean, the Chiefs didn't lack for content today.
Yeah.
And we're talking about how you take care of your rear end. That's great. I'm glad we're involved.
I told Matt Connor that we would get you on the record just so we would know. And I think that what we're really setting up is that Matt and I have a perfect future, like birthday or Christmas present for you.
Oh, can't wait.
I look forward to getting a review and a thank you card, and you know, being told about how much it is. It's fundamentally changed your life. It's worth it. But I won't belabor the point now, because you're right. This is sort of the wild thing about how today has gone, because we should probably start with the stuff of today, because there's plenty to unpack there. But on a Thursday before the biggest and best matchup of the NFL season, we have spent this day talking about off-the-field things, one thing for a current player and one thing for a guy who last played meaningful snaps for the Raiders in October or early November. Like, it has been a bit of a bonkers day on the Chiefs front. What have you made of all of that, starting with Willie Gay this morning and then the Chiefs signing Damon Arnette this afternoon?
So I gave a lot of my thoughts on this on the Arrowhead Addict podcast, so I'm happy to repeat them. I think, look, the Willie Gay thing, I'm not going to be irresponsible and talk about it in the sense that I just don't know. Yep. I've read the documents are out on it. I'll say this. From everything we understand, no person was injured. Mm-hmm. And that's really good news. Because unfortunately, yep, when there's a domestic dispute, a lot of times, of course, we all know that's not the case. Yep. So I'm glad that the son was not hurt, that his ex-partner was not hurt. That being said, I am appalled with some people's reaction, and look, everybody's allowed to have their own reaction, I guess. The idea that, like, it's not a big deal because, well, he just broke a vacuum. Mm-hmm. He just broke a dehumidifier. Like, you know how terrifying that must have been,
yeah,
being in that room? Like, he's not a 13-year-old kid. He's a grown adult who's an NFL linebacker. Like, that had to be pretty scary. And I'm not, look, that said, I'm hoping that for Willie's sake and for his family's sake and his ex-partner's sake, I hope that he can work through it and he can find some I don't know if inner peace is the right word, but some inner resolution. He's been very open about the fact in the past he struggled with mental health. I'm hoping that he can get through these issues and that he can have a healthy relationship with the next partner and his son. And I think that's the most important thing moving forward, and I'm glad nobody got hurt. As far as the Damon Arnette thing, I'm not surprised the Chiefs did that because under Brett Veach, they love to sign ex-first-round players.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Damon Arnette was terrible with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Like, terrible. Not, oh, he was okay. Or, he was so bad that after 1 year, on a team with no defense, they were like, yeah, we don't need to start you anymore.
Yeah.
And then they cut him because of the now-famous Instagram video where he's threatening people with guns. It's really unclear who he's threatening, but he's threatening someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rough look if you're the Chiefs and you just had a player arrested late last night.
Yeah.
And you just went out and signed a guy. Let's face it, it's a flyer who, like, did you really need to do that today? Like, was that something that was real high on the priority list saying Damon Arnette? Was there a ton of competition? I understand in their head, like, the value of, well, he's the next first round. But it just seems like an unnecessary move in the moment to make.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with all of that on both of those issues, so I won't go through the trouble of just repeating everything that you said. I'm with 100% of that, I think. On Damon Arnette, the one thing that has sort of stuck with me a little bit, and you know, as we talk about it right now, it's been 5 hours or something since they signed him, but there's been nothing from the Chiefs. I don't expect that we're going to get anything really substantive on that front from Andy Reid tomorrow. I don't expect we're going to get Brett Veach in a presser tomorrow. And again, this isn't even one of those issues. Like, when they drafted Tyreek Hill, you know, they needed, Andy Reid and John Dorsey needed to talk about what they knew there and why they were comfortable drafting him. They did a little bit of that whenever Frank Clark got to town for his press conference. Damon Arnette is a weird situation, kind of like with Willie Gay, where there's just some gray area and it's not good, but it could have been worse and all of that. But
I
was disappointed today that we're at a point, and maybe they amend some of this tomorrow, and if they do, it's better than nothing. But we're at a point where we haven't heard from the Chiefs, really. We know this from a transaction report.
Well, I think part of it is because they're probably looking at it as, look, we signed into a futures deal. You know, we're not signing to $100 million if we sign Frank Clark. We're
not
using a draft pick like we are with Tyreek Hill. And, of course, listen, let's be real. What happened with Tyreek Hill before the draft, involving he and his pregnant girlfriend at the time, that was something that was, I mean, there was a guilty plea involved. There were some heinous details involved. I mean, that's what it is. Like, there's no arguing that. That was detailed. With Arnette, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe there was a crime committed in that. I mean, it was an ugly Instagram video, but there wasn't, as far as I'm aware, there weren't any criminal charges or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know that the Chiefs maybe feel compelled to talk about it. I'll just say this. You're getting ready to play the Bills in a huge game where if you're not ready, you're going to get your doors blown off in this football game. Like, this is a game, you're not playing the Steelers.
Yeah.
And here we are on Thursday night talking about all this stuff. And it's kind of like, look, I'll put it this way. You know, we also, now last year it was a lot more serious in terms of the result, but, you know, last year in the Super Bowl, we're sitting here the week of the Super Bowl talking about, you know, Britt Reid and everything. Now, look, again, what happened with Roy Gay, thankfully, did not escalate anywhere near to the result of what happened with Britt Reid and his accident.
Right.
The point is, the Chiefs, as great of a team and really as well-run in a lot of ways of an organization as they are, they find themselves at times in these scrapes, and sometimes a hell of a lot worse than a scrape with Britt Reid. It's one of those things. Look, I mean, life happens, and it doesn't care what the NFL calendar looks like, but accountability matters. And sometimes with the Chiefs, they fought that line, and in past cases at times they go way over it, and it's too bad. We're 100 hours out from the game.
Yeah.
And we're talking about all this stuff that, you know, is in court and is on Instagram Live, and it's not about a football game.
Yeah, and that does bum me out because, again, this matchup is awesome, and we can certainly spend the rest of our time here talking about it because it should be, and I hope it is, everything that we could ever ask from a football game with stakes like this.
Yeah.
I mean, you could start from any number of places. Where would you begin in terms of what you're excited to see from this game?
I'm excited for all of it.
Me too. It's all good.
I agree, great. Like, moving to football, and by the way, I think by the time we get to the weekend, we will be focused on football. But thankfully, because that could have gone a lot differently, you know, as we go. But anyway, look, football, I think this game, I think it's weird in a sense that the game itself is great. But I think the narrative nationally is kind of weird about it. Like, we have heard, at least I've heard, I can't speak for everybody else, but from what I've seen, what I've consumed, it's this idea that, like, if the both teams play well, the Bills are the more talented team, but the Chiefs have Mahomes. I'll throw a question at you. Other than the safeties, where I think the Bills' combination of safeties are the best in the league, not that the Chiefs have bad ones, but I think the Bills are better as a combo. What position group do the Bills have that you would say is more talented than the Chiefs?
I think you might be able to make an argument for purely wide receivers, but I wouldn't. I don't think. I think I'd rather have it being a little more top heavy. I don't know. You could split the hairs on Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs, and then maybe take the Bills. But the point you're making is a very good one. Is that I don't know if there's a great answer.
I don't like. There are some position groups that are close.
Yeah.
Like, I think linebackers close.
Yep.
This idea that, like, the Chiefs are somehow this, like, plucky team compared to Buffalo is just – I don't understand that.
Yeah.
You watch NFL Network, and Buffalo, 7 out of 10 predictions for the Bills. Listen, the Bills are really good. And I will say this. I've said this all week on any radio show I've done, said on my podcast. The Bills game against New England, that is the best game I've ever seen a football team play.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills destroyed – a Bill Belichick coach team for 4 quarters, they could have beat them worse if they wanted to.
Yeah.
That game was crushing. That said, I watched the Bills, I won't say every game this year, I've probably watched them 13, 14 times. They have games where they play unbelievably well. Mm. They have a lot of games where they don't play well at all.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variance with the Bills where they're not with the Chiefs. The Chiefs are pretty much, the last 3 months of the year, they're pretty much the same team just about every week. You know, there's going to be some penalties. There's probably going to be, a turnover. But there's also going to be a pretty good defensive effort. And there's going to be an offense that at any given time can hang 35, 40 points. And that's pretty much what you're getting. Look, I think this game's going to be really good. The one advantage I see in this game, for either side, I think it's the biggest advantage. The Chiefs are better than Buffalo on both sides of the ball in the trenches.
Mm.
And if they're going to win, I think that's why, along with, of course, the man throwing football.
Well, let's stay in the trenches then for a second, because we're never going to have any trouble finding time to talk about the quarterbacks. What is it that gives the Chiefs the advantage? I mean, we know the offensive line is very well built, even with Andrew Wiley playing a pretty admirable right tackle as their third choice there. And we also know about the pass rushers. But what are you seeing from Buffalo that makes you say, the Chiefs have the advantage here?
Well, like, it's not even that Buffalo's bad necessarily up front. It's just that they're not overwhelming. And the Chiefs, they spent a ton of either draft capital or money in free agency on that offensive line. And when you look at that group, I think it's one of the five best offensive lines in football.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. And Buffalo has Mario Addison, who leads the team with 7 sacks. He's been limited all week. The shoulder injury, we'll see if he can play. My guess is he will, but how effective is he? Who knows? He came out of that New England game in a sling.
Mm.
So how well does he play? Nobody else on the team has more than 4.5 sacks. Now, they lead the league in pressure rate. See, like, that's interesting. But then there's the other part of this where the quarterbacks and the offenses that Buffalo has faced all year long has just been flat out terrible. If you go through and look, here's the list of the quarterbacks the Bills have faced this year. So Mahomes and Brady, who are the two guys who are obviously elite players. After that, Tua Tagovailoa twice, Zach Wilson twice, Mac Jones twice, Trevor Lawrence, Carson Wentz, Ryan Tannehill, Davis Mills, Ben Roethlisberger, Tyler Henneke, Trevor Siemian, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton. Like,
poof!
I mean, that's the list.
Ryan Tannehill is the best quarterback on that list by so much that it's confusing.
Mile.
Yeah.
Mile. So when everybody's like, well, the Bills have this great defense, so I don't know if they're great. The last time they played a good team was the Bucs.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers had 500 yards of offense. Like, and that's, by the way, the only time they played anybody who can throw the ball at all since Tre'Davious White got hurt.
Yeah.
So, don't get me wrong. I think they're good, but I don't think they have a strong pass rush. If they're not out in front and they can just do everything they want to do. And I think most of their pass rush comes from the interior of the guy like Ed Oliver. Well, the Chiefs' interior is the best part of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, we all know this, look, if you can't pressure Mahomes, you're in for a long night.
Yep.
Like, you're just in for and by the way, same story with Allen. If you can't get pressure on him. When Allen's been sacked three or more times this year, the Bills are 1-4. He's also the worst quarterback remaining statistically in the playoffs against the Blitz. If you're the Chiefs, you relentlessly go after him, but you have to do it in a way where he cannot escape the pocket. That is going to be the key to this whole game. If he can't run and you can get pressure, and that's a hard thing to do. That's a really hard thing to do. But if the Chiefs can bring an extra guy but contain him and keep him in the pocket and force him back and not sideways, I think the Chiefs have a really good shot in the game because I don't think Buffalo up front can handle Jones and Clark and Ingram. And if the Chiefs bring pressure, I mean, one thing with Spagnuolo, he's pretty good at coming up with exotic pressures, forcing you to kind of make a decision where either answer is not great. I think you're going to see the Chiefs be very aggressive in this game Sunday night.
Well, and so, I mean, specifically speaking to the idea of containing Josh Allen, I like the way that you phrased it, of having him move backwards and not sideways, where he can become even more dangerous. My hunch would be that Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram in particular are pretty well suited to help execute that, I would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're both cagey veterans. They both are good against the edge. Now, look, Ingram's going to have an interesting matchup. He's going against the rookie right tackle and Spencer Brown, who has flashed and has been very good at times, but also has gotten torched by better pass rushers at times. Melvin Ingram's going to have a shot to win on the edge there. Clark is going against Dawkins, who's their best lineman, I think. Very good left tackle. He and Mitch Morse are the two guys who I'd consider strong guys at the front for them. The Chiefs, the big thing is Jones against either guard should be able to win.
Yeah.
And if he wins, anytime you're facing a quarterback like Allen or a Mahomes or someone of that type of that big, physical, like even Herbert, not that he runs quite as much as those two, but you want his first step in that pocket to be back. You don't want it to be to his right or even to his left with a guy like Allen, because he can throw the ball so hard, he can throw it to any blade of grass on the field. And that's why I think Jones is so important here. Like, if the Bills come in with the plan of doubling Jones, which I think they'd be crazy not to, that makes the blitz all the more important. If you show blitz early, and over the interior, all of a sudden, it forces the offensive line's roles to change. They have to declare who they're going to block. Now you can't double Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Or the back's going to have to pick up a blitzing linebacker, and all of a sudden, now the back stays in. Now they only have four eligible guys. Now you're still playing 6-on-4 in the back end. I think for Kansas City, you go after Allen in his game, but you tell especially Clark and Ingram, you cannot let him out the door.
Mm-hmm.
I also wonder in this game if Willie Gay plays, which we'll see if he does. Do the Chiefs blitz and use him as a spy behind the blitz?
Yeah.
Where if he takes off and the Chiefs in the meantime just say, look, we're going to play man. We're going to play too high behind it when we can. Sometimes we're going to go single high. We're going to take our chances. And I think if you're the Chiefs, you play with aggression and you take a little bit of a calculated gamble that, okay, look, we're willing to try to put him under some pressure, and if he makes one big mistake in the game, that might be enough.
You mentioned this earlier, and it stuck with me to the point that I'm circling all the way back, because you know you mentioned that the Bills have their inconsistencies, right? Where there are games where they lose to the Jags, and then a couple weeks later get blown out by the Colts, and you know, I won't use the Patriots monsoon whatever blizzard game as an example, right? Because that one was played on a different planet, basically.
But
what is the biggest factor, or is there even a common factor in the games where they don't look quite right? And is that something the Chiefs can force upon them, or is that kind of like with the Chiefs' issues? Is that more self-inflicted?
Pressure. Mm. Pressure. I mean, again, they're 1-4 when teams get three sacks on Allen.
Yep.
Pressure. Like, look, why did the Chiefs get their rear ends kicked in the Super Bowl last year? Couldn't block.
Anybody.
Right. I mean, I had two sacks that game. Right. Like, I mean, why great teams? Why did the year the Pats were undefeated and lost in the Super Bowl, why did they lose to the Giants?
Pressure, baby.
By the way, who was the D coordinator in that game?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Right.
He's currently the defense coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Yeah. It might be Steve Spagnuolo. You don't think that's a lesson that maybe he's taken? Like, how they beat the Bills last year in the AFC title game? They just relentlessly hit Allen in the game. Mm. That's it. Like, we make it too often about, well, who are the best weapons and who's the X factor? Oh, is it Mecole Hardman or is it Isaiah McKenzie? What about this? It's football forever and has always been about pressure. Mm. If you win up front, you win. And I thought, when they played in week 5, the Chiefs didn't have Jones, they didn't have Ingram, Clark was playing with a hamstring injury. I rewatched the game this week. They could not get a lick of pressure. Allen sat back there the entire game, did all day. And, yes, Dan Sorensen is a big part of that game. Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. That's true. That is not going to be as much of a factor this time around with Thornhill. But the Chiefs can get pressure. And the Bills got a lot of pressure because Mahomes was drifting out of the back of the pocket. And Brown was all messed up in that game if you go back and watch it. And the Chiefs, look, let's be real. If they get pressure on Allen, and Allen has one of these games, and he's had a lot of them this year, I would say about a third of his games this year, he has not played well. If you can get him into a game where he doesn't have a great game, if he's merely good, the Bills are probably losing this game.
Hmm.
I don't see – and by the way, same for Mahomes. If Mahomes is just, like, okay in this game, the Chiefs are going to lose.
Right.
To me, this whole game, if I'm the Chiefs coaching staff, this entire game is we have to give Mahomes time and we have to take it away from Josh Allen. If you can do that, I think the Chiefs move on.
I love the emphasis on the pressure of it because it makes sense. You speed up that clock in a quarterback's head and everything gets more difficult. That's been true for everyone all the way back to, you know, the peak of young Tom Brady to now the peak of old Tom Brady and everybody's. I think that's focus well made. On the Chiefs' offensive side, I mean, you mentioned Mahomes has to be great. Both quarterbacks in this game have to achieve at least at the level of the other guy. Otherwise, their team's going to end up, you know, coming up short. With the rest of the offense, though, I mean, this is maybe too narrow, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been practicing again this week. But Jerick McKinnon in this offense last week, I mean, I've been happy to invoke the name of Damian Williams a few times of – it felt like the offense more than anything else. This game with Jerick McKinnon playing that role last week felt like the Chiefs' offense back to something near its best. Is that something where you're going to give credit to McKinnon? Is that something different they were asking him to do? What do you do if you're Eric Bieniemy or Andy Reid this week in terms of the running back position?
I think it's a good point. And look, McKinnon definitely deserves some credit. I thought that it was the first time, really all year, maybe there's a game I'm not thinking of, maybe against the Raiders perhaps. I thought the Chiefs played with joy. They looked happy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird thing to say about a football team, but, you know, that clip's been going around NFL films. It was like when Kelce threw a touchdown pass, and Mahomes was giving him crap, they didn't throw it to him. And, like, that team, I got to tell you, like, watching the game, and the game was over by halftime.
Right.
But when they threw a touchdown to Allegretti,
yes,
and then Kelce came back and threw a touchdown to Byron Pringle, I just kind of thought to myself, like, if they play like that, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, that's when they're at their best. You know, some teams are at their best in their match. They're at their best when they're just freewheeling and here it comes and stop us. Yeah. And I thought they were like that. I thought that game really got them right. Now, with McKinnon, I think the element he brings, and I don't think Williams or Edwards-Helaire brings this, is speed.
Mm-hmm.
He's fast. He's very fast. He makes good cuts. For a guy his size, he's a hell of a guy. I've done contact. He can run somebody over. He can run through a tackle. But McKinnon, you know, his nickname's Jet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's fast. And when you're dealing with that team, you're already dealing with a bunch of guys who can run like the wind. And now all of a sudden you're putting in another guy who – But, okay, now he's you're not going to guard McKinnon with a linebacker. I mean, not many linebackers are going to be able to guard Jerry McKinnon, especially if you're in man defensively and your best linebacker's on Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Now your second best guy is on McKinnon. He spread the defense. Even if Edwards-Helaire comes back this weekend, it seems like he will. And I think that's a good thing. I know some Chiefs fans have hesitancy. It's like, well, how will they split the carries? I think Edwards-Helaire should be the backup. Yeah. Look, are you trying to win a Super Bowl or are you trying to justify that he was the first-round pick a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
He's not the best running back in this team. He's not. I would argue he's the third best running back in this team. And he's not bad. They just have a lot of pretty good running backs. But I would put McKinnon deserves it. He had 150 yards last week. You have to play Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, I agree. I just even after some of the big Darrell Williams games, or after he has a 50-yard absolute mossing, great moments and a real role. But for McKinnon, just not from the beginning of the game, I guess, because it wasn't great for that first quarter, obviously. But once the offense got moving, it just felt like every time he touched the ball, he was if nothing else, a real pain to catch, a pain to bring down. The screen game was, wonderful again, not even exclusively to McKinnon, but just all together. So it feels to me like you're leaning Chiefs right now. Is that fair? What are you looking at right now?
I think the Chiefs are going to win the game. I think they're going to win like 30-24. And I wouldn't be surprised if they win by two scores. I think Buffalo is very good. But having watched a team, as most of, I'm sure all your listeners have, you, everybody else, they're at their best under Mahomes when they have these weeks where people are like, I don't know. I don't know if they can do it. I don't know. And all that doubt, that's usually – I'm more worried about the Chiefs when they have a week where everybody's like, oh, they're going to win, no problem. That always seems to be the week when the Chiefs are just like, yeah, all right, we'll start playing football like middle of the second quarter, kind of like last week where the Chiefs couldn't be bothered to wake up from their coma offensively until they gave up 7 points.
Yep.
And then they're like, yeah, all right, and then just went berserk. I think they're going to come out really well in this game. Look, I'm a big believer. If you can win up front, you will, especially with a quarterback like the Chiefs have, you're probably going to win. And I also think it's really hard to beat a team this good in their building twice.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat them at once. Look, I think the Bills can definitely win. Don't get me wrong. The Bills are really talented. And they are more than capable of coming in there and smacking the Chiefs around and moving on. But I think the Chiefs are playing really well. Everybody's talked about how Buffalo's playing, and to an extent that's very true. They've won 5 in a row. The Chiefs have won 10 of 11. Like, the Chiefs are playing really good football. And it seems like it's like this mentality. They're like, they're kind of there. They're all right. Like, they're two-time AFC champs. They won 10 of 11. They're at home in this game. They're healthy. I think the Chiefs are the better team. They played the hardest schedule in football and had a better record than the Bills with one of the easier schedules in football. I think they'll win. I do. I think they'll win by 6 to 10 points, something like that.
Between the pass rush trenches analysis and the observation of this team is at their best when they're having fun and everything else, Matt, I think you are one bidet away from nearly pitching a perfect segment. That did get you off on the wrong foot, but we can get that sorted out. We'll get you a bidet, and the next time will be perfect.
I'll pray for you.
Look, they say don't look a gift toilet in the mouth, and I just think you should just graciously accept this gift that Matt and I are going to try to get for you, and we'll see how you feel on the other side.
You send that to me, just know Kansas City's like an 8-hour drive. It's coming to your door.
You'd like me to drive it to you and help you install it? You know what? I'd love to. Just go ahead, give me your address. I'll be there in 8 hours or so after the show ends. I'll help you install it.
I really appreciate your continuance to make sure that the bidet is installed in the house. Thank you for your assistance.
So my assistance. You're so welcome. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.
I thought I might get any chuckle out of assistance. Stone cold, man. That man is stone cold. It's Matt Verderam of FanSided. Check out the Stacking the Box podcast, the Arrowhead Attic podcast, all of his written work up on FanSided.
Do you ever think maybe he's not stone cold? You're just not funny?
No. No,
never
Rudy.
Cross your mind?
Rudy, I can honestly say to you, Rudy, that thought has literally never once in my entire life has that thought ever crossed my mind.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Can I tell you the secret on this, and then we can talk about other stuff?
Can I tell you something too? Last night.
What?
Like last.
You can't play an Uno reverse card on me.
Yeah.
What?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks again to Matt Verderam. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam. Just truly got the art of radio down to the art that it is. I thought all of this stuff on Willie Gay and Damon Arnett was really good. You can, if you missed any of the show ever, you can subscribe to Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcast feeds. We podcast the entire show. We almost didn't today.
There have been some technical difficulties with the computers. It froze at one point. The second hour, if you're listening to this live, you're probably not going to check out the podcast.
Maybe you missed it.
But this way, if you're listening to the podcast and you listen to the second hour, you're like, oh, that is a little bit of a weird start. Like, everything's there, but it's not a smooth start. That's because the recording computer froze.
It's just, you know.
So when you listen to the third hour after having listened to the second hour, you can kind of like time travel back in time.
Exactly.
To your second hour. I'm talking to you from the future and the past and the present. I think there's a Keanu Reeves movie about this in a mailbox on a lake.
Jonathan, we're talking to you.
Roy.
Roy, you have to wake up.
I think it's called Mailbox by the Lake.
Frederick. Talking to you. That probably...
The Lake House.
That probably impacted a few people. That would have been fun.
Yeah, Lake House, circa 2006. Keanu Reeves, I think, talks to his girlfriend? Ex-girlfriend? Dead girlfriend or something? They put a letter in the mailbox. The letter travels through time. Woman pulls out said letter, reads it, writes back to Keanu. She puts in the mailbox. Letter then goes back through time again to Keanu. And, yeah.
Wait, hold on. Because I'm actually low-key in on this.
Yeah.
Where are the two of them in the timeline?
I don't
even want you to read Wikipedia.
No,
I'm
just trying to...
I want your foggy memory.
I don't remember exactly... So, like, they are in the same house. So, like, they each live in the same house, but in different times, right? So,
right.
Like, I think Keanu...
Sorry, Ice Pirate
dead.
Just said, Josh, it's not diabetes, you're asleep.
That's true. I think Keanu is dead. So I think Keanu's in the past.
Okay.
And he is writing a letter.
Keanu's in the past because he's dead in the present.
Or no, maybe he's in the present. I think he's in the present. The love? No, I don't think they knew each other. I think he falls in love with a girl from a different time who he's never met and can never meet.
Wow.
I just think they're in different times.
They're interdimensional pen pals.
Somehow a letter travels through a mailbox. They're living in the same place. I think that's what it is.
What's it called again?
The Lake House. Here's the thing. I know some stuff about time traveling love stories. Because also there's the time traveler's girlfriend? Or is it wife?
Wife.
That
the
movie,
time traveler's wife.
That movie hits me hard, man.
I haven't seen that. Have you seen About Time? I think that was a big Sean Collins recommendation. I think it's his favorite movie of all time.
I don't know if I've seen About Time. Let me pull it up because I've seen some time travel movies like from like maybe when I was like around 15-ish that like I remember like loving but don't necessarily remember what they are.
About Time is very good. The main characters are Rachel McAdams and Domhnall Gleeson. Who, if you don't know his name, you will know his face. He was one of the real jerk Empire guys in the new Star Wars trilogy.
Is Rachel McAdams also in The Time Traveler's Wife?
I don't know. I can tell you anything you want to know about Click, though, because I could click that right now. I'm not sure. I am definitely down for almost all time travel like stories, though.
Rachel McAdams is in the time traveler's wife. She's big in the time travel, love story.
Okay. This is About Time has 69% Rotten Tomatoes. Well, that is, in fact, nice. It is also a little bit surprising. I feel like it deserved better. I'm pulling up the Rotten Tomatoes page. 81% from the audience. What's the best time travel movie that you have seen? You said that you're in on the time travel rom-com genre, at least. I've given you the assignment of About Time.
So there's a movie called The Time Machine. I don't know if it's a good movie.
Yeah, they all get in the hot tub. And that's
one's just The Time Machine.
Okay.
I like barely remember it, but I watched it, I believe, in theaters and then like on TV a handful of times. I believe I read the book. If I remember right, it's like essentially right. It's a guy who built a time machine, I believe he is in part to like save the life of his loved, right, who dies.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually something happens to where he like loses control of the time machine and he is just stuck in it to travel time without any control over it. And he literally ends up in like post-apocalyptic worlds, yada, yada, yada. I don't know if it's a good movie, but it's just something about that movie is like all like every like 3 months I think of it.
So,
but I haven't watched it since like maybe 2004 or 5.
This is I'm going to need you for a knee jerk reaction, absolutely no thought. Just I'm going to read you the title of a movie, and I just need you to say good or bad. Basically, are you interested or not interested? What do you think the result of this movie would be for you? Are you ready, Rudy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got to keep your mic on. Okay. I need rapid.
Gotcha.
You cannot give a single thought to this.
Yeah, gotcha.
Needle in a Time Stack.
What?
Needle in a Time Stack.
Cheesy.
See, my immediate reaction was good. And every moment since then, my enthusiasm has waned.
Yeah.
I think it came out this year. If love is in the... Orlando Bloom is in it. If love is in the form of a circle, what lines would you cross to be with your soulmate? In this gripping near-future love story directed by Oscar winner John Ridley, Nick and Janine, Oscar nominees Leslie Odom Jr. and Cynthia Erivo, live in marital bliss. Until Jan's ex-husband, Orlando Bloom, warps time to try to tear them apart using Nick's college girlfriend, Frida Pinto. The phrase needle in a time stack really, really gets me.
So,
it's got 36% on Rotten Tomatoes, which feels about right.
The time I need to clear up some stuff on the Time Machine. Time Machine is also an H.G. Wells book from the 1800s, and they made the movie in 1960. There's a 2002 remake that I watched.
Okay, what about the Keanu Reeves one?
Well, I haven't actually looked up any information on that because I was staying away from it.
Okay,
The Lake House.
No, that's fine.
I'll get the specifics on The Lake House.
I'll pull up The Lake House Wikipedia.
I got it right here.
The plot synopsis.
I assume it stars Rachel McAdams. Sandra Bullock. Yeah.
In 2006, Dr. Kate Forster is leaving a lake house that she has been renting in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Kate leaves a note in the mailbox for the next tenant to forward her mail, adding that the paint-embedded paw prints on the path leading to the house were already there when she arrived. 2 years. Whoa.
Earlier.
Earlier in 2004, Alex Weiler, an architect, arrives at the lake house and finds Kate's letter in the mailbox. The house is neglected with no signs of paw prints anywhere. During the subsequent restoration of the house, a dog runs through Alex's paint and leaves fresh paw prints right where Kate said they would be.
I skipped ahead to the ending and I just got chills. I forgot about the ending of this movie.
So here's we have a recurring bit of me admitting to movies I haven't seen that I should have seen by now. And I really do. I really love movies. A lot of my favorite media are movies. And I love it as a storytelling vehicle. I love a 90-minute or a two-hour-long story being told. I really do. I used to go to a lot more movies. Obviously, the ongoing unpleasantness has really limited that for a while. But here's the stupid thing, Rudy. Here's what I don't care for about myself. I didn't know this movie existed. Sandra Bullock is in it?
Yeah. Sandra Bullock, Keanu Reeves.
I thought it was Rachel McAdams.
No, that was a joke. I was making the joke that Rachel McAdams is in it.
Because
she's in all these time travel love movies.
What, Rudy?
Time travel love movies.
You haven't made that joke yet.
What?
Bum bum.
Dude, bum bum.
You haven't told that joke yet, Jonathan. Bum bum.
Butterfly Effect is also, I don't know if it's a good movie, but I enjoyed it.
It's Ashton Kutcher, right?
Yeah. I never watched Butterfly Effect 2 and 3 because they were like straight to VHS.
I saw there was a third one. I learned that 5 minutes ago.
I'm not interested in either of them. The first one I enjoyed.
Donnie
Darko is also a good one.
I have you seen Donnie Darko?
You would like Donnie Darko.
I'm sure
Darko.
I would.
Yeah.
That feels like my aesthetic.
Yeah. Yeah, you would definitely like Donnie Darko.
So here's the thing that I'm kind of annoyed about with myself. I did not know this movie existed literally 15 minutes ago. I had never heard of it.
Ooh, Deja Vu with Denzel Washington. I remember that one, too.
This was made in whatever it was, 2006. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. I don't know if it's particularly good. I don't know that I will ever watch it. But I really don't want to read the last paragraph in the Wikipedia plot. Because if I do want to watch it, I want to be surprised by the twist.
So you can watch it for free on the Roku channel.
I have that.
Yeah.
It's getting too real.
You can rent it from,
anywhere,
everywhere,
$4. Like
YouTube, Apple TV, Amazon, but it is free on the Roku channel. IMDb gave it a 6.8, and Vudu gave it a 4.4 out of 5. So, Vudu are big fans.
This might be a horrible, ineffective idea, but I think I would like for movie Cliff's Notes where you can, watch the good parts. I want to be able to watch it. Here's the truth. I want to watch this movie in 20 minutes.
Here's a plot twist for you. I did not know this about the movie. It is a remake of the acclaimed South Korean film, Soiree? Yeah, S-I-W-O-R-A-E, which obviously knew there was a word. Never know how to spell it because I've never, ever seen it written out before in my life. I've now seen it written out in my life. So based off of South Korean.
Maybe I should go watch the original.
Maybe.
See, this is that really. I do that bleep all the time. There is a very popular superhero movie coming out in the future. I'm not even saying what it is because I simply don't like the fact. No. I simply don't like the fact that I know that this movie supposedly has a twist at the end.
Bill and Ted Face the Music.
That's it.
Bill and Ted, another Keanu Reeves time travel movie. Very good.
Another one. Don't you mean Keanu Reeves' first time travel movie?
True.
Jonathan?
Save the Last Dance. I don't remember that one being time travel-y, but it's in the time travel one, so it must be.
I really got to wrestle with the fact if I'm going to try to go home tonight and be like, Renee, listen, there's this movie with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. It came out in 2006. I learned about it during the show tonight. Never heard of it before. I know how it starts, but I don't know how it ends.
You got to watch it.
I kind of want to watch it. And then
watch it.
We will inevitably talk about watching it for 30 minutes and then be too tired and then just watch an episode of a cooking show on Netflix.
Or you can watch the South Korean version, Il Mare. I-L space M-A-R-E. Might be Mare.
I thought it was Soiree.
Well, so the adaptation is of... Let's see this. This might be the book.
I really should have thrown the break a couple minutes ago.
No, it says... The title of Mare means the sea. I've confused myself.
No, Rudy. You've only yet begun to confuse yourself.
Hold up. Maybe you pronounce it Soiree, but it's, I don't know. I'm lost. Wikipedia's
like Lost, another great show featuring time travel, I think. It was always sort of confusing.
Yeah, I think there might be time travel in the end.
I was pretty young whenever it came out. Yeah.
I binge watched it one summer in college.
My mom and I watched it. We watched some of it live as it was coming out, which is a fun thing that people used to do around television. God, I'm old. Or am I still young? Or have I been old this whole time?
You've been old this whole time.
That makes sense.
Benjamin Button. Kind of time travel. He goes from old to young.
Remember when this show was simpler? When we talked about bidets for 10 minutes instead of talking about time travel movies for 15?
The good old times, as I like to call them.
What times?
Good times.
Being what?
What time? We talked about bidets.
We haven't talked about bidets yet tonight. Dun dun, Jonathan.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
It's my favorite old movie, Blown Out with the Wind. Rosebud.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is going to shock some of you AES loyalists / AES regulars. You're going to be floored by this. But I actually cut a bunch of audio earlier today. We are out of time. I
don't sound like us.
I remembered during the last break that I wanted to do it that last segment. I don't know how we got to where
I totally forgot how we got. How I started us off with Lake House. I know I mentioned Lake House, and that's how I have no idea how we got there. Totally forgot.
The Matrix got involved, and there was a Keanu thing.
Oh, yeah, something about a simulation, I think.
I think that was first. I don't know.
I know we said that. I just now don't remember if that was last.
We failed to get to audio that I go through the work. One of us goes through the work of actually cutting and, like, writing down the throws to them and, like, putting them in the Google Doc. I do the work for that and then fail to actually play them at a rate that has to seem like a bit, though. Like, it's like a baker making cookies and then just forgetting to put them out on the counter. The other thing that I thought we could mention briefly here is that I have casually watched more hockey in the last, like, month than ever before because it's just on ESPN on weeknights now. Right now, Avs versus Kings is on right now.
Avs are top of the Central.
And it is a great...
They're good.
It's a great sport even to watch on mute. But it's a great sport to watch casually because it's shocking.
I think this is the year the Avs finally get that championship.
I bet so, buddy. I bet you'll get it.
We're good. We're really good still because we have really good players. We're like the Chiefs of hockey without the title yet.
It's just... It is one of those weird instances where... Like, being paired with a giant media partner like ESPN, like, it's actually doing the thing for hockey. It's kind of interesting. I don't know why I decided I wanted the last 15 seconds of this show to be about it, but I can't explain things I've done or haven't done yet. Bye, Mom!